KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, connecting generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Since 1991, the foundation has provided more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships, helping students pursue education and training that strengthen our communities. Every scholarship tells a story and is an opportunity created by donors who care about the future. Join us and consider how your gift today or planned gift for tomorrow can make a lasting difference. The Homer Foundation, celebrating 35 years of generosity, scholarships, and community.
Today is Friday, February 27th, 2026. I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. Last week, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration released the Atlas for Aquaculture Opportunity Areas. The 986-page publication identifies 77 locations that may be suitable for sustainable shellfish and seaweed aquaculture operations in the Gulf of Alaska. Emily Springer has more details from NOAA.
A press release provided by NOAA for the Atlas for Aquaculture Opportunity Areas states that the effort for this atlas is part of NOAA's commitment to prioritize American seafood competitiveness and strengthening the nation's seafood industry to reduce reliance on foreign imports as well as creating employment. A lead author and spokesperson for the publication is James Morris, Jr., a national marine ecologist with the Marine Spatial Ecology Division of NOAA in Beaufort, North Carolina. He provided these details for the two-year study and publication.
Our team in NOAA works to bring together many different types of data. We work to build these ecosystem-based models that bring in, all the human resources and industries that work in the coastal zone and coastal ocean, as well as all the natural resources.
The publication focuses on 10 study areas around the population centers of Juneau, Sitka, Petersburg, Wrangell, Craig, Ketchikan, Seward, Valdez, Cordova, and Kodiak Island. Morris provided these details about the Atlas in general, with few details specifically related to South Central Alaska.
The Atlas is about 1,000 pages. We cover a number of different study areas and identify essentially around 77 areas that will be considered for aquaculture opportunity areas. That is an initiative within NOAA that we work with states and federal agencies to identify areas that have, higher promise, higher opportunity in the coastal area for aquaculture development. And then those areas, environmental review is done for those areas that meet the highest level of suitability.
The Atlas itself notes one feature of the Seward Opportunity Area that overlaps with marine bird concentration areas. The four sizable colonies in this study area include Cape Resurrection, Hive Island, Rugged Island, and Cheevil Island. Public comments that came in from this study area noted that concern. Another comment submitted noted the remote nature of the Seward AOA sites and potential challenge that posed for compliance with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineer permit conditions that often require mandatory in-person monitoring, visits weekly in winter and biweekly during fall and spring. The sites identified in Resurrection Bay are not accessible by the road system, but located near the mouth of the bay. The Atlas provides details of the general history and current status of aquaculture in Alaska. Alaska has a long history with aquaculture, with evidence of clam gardens dating back to the late Holocene, or roughly 4,200 years. Modern aquaculture in Alaska dates back to the late 1970s, with a handful of farms in southeast Alaska focused on Pacific oyster culture. The state experienced modest growth until the development of a formal regulatory framework under the Alaska Aquatic Farm Act in 1988. The Aquatic Farm Act authorized the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to issue permits for the construction or operation of aquatic farms and hatcheries to supply aquatic plants or shellfish to aquatic farms. In 1990, Alaska House Bill 432 became law, prohibiting the farming of finfish in the state. The executive summary of the Atlas states that while identifying AOA options can help applicants with site selection and environmental analysis, it is not a pre-approval for any location. Applicants for future aquaculture operations will still have to go through the full state and federal permitting and environmental review processes. With that in mind, it is the intent that this work will inform and empower aquaculture proponents and coastal managers to realize the full potential for aquaculture development in Alaska state waters. As a NOAA employee based out of North Carolina, Morris had comments related more to the state of Alaska rather than specifically towards the region of Resurrection Bay.
We have performed studies like this all over the U.S., and Alaska certainly is a wonderful, biologically diverse, rich with culture and tradition and coastal heritage. And you know, that to me is something that really popped out about Alaska.
Weatherly Bates, a local shellfish farmer in Kachemak Bay, shared comments on the atlas in relation more specifically to the region of Homer, suggesting that the AOA atlas was well-planned, widely reviewed, and will hopefully bring a wider overview and good perspective when planning mariculture in Alaska. She said that as far as she knows, Kachemak Bay was not included because there isn't much room for further development with many existing uses, including permitted aquatic farms and critical habitat areas. The full NOAA publication is available at repository.library.noaa.gov-view-noaa-72440. Reporting from Homer, this is Emily Springer.
That's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KBBI AM 890 in Homer, 88.1 FM Seward, through translator K201AO and kbbi.org online. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news@kbbi.org. Alicia Vianney Trio are playing with Pete Kartsounis at Alice's March 21st at 9 p.m. Tickets are on sale at kbbi.org. Proceeds from this event benefit KBBI. Applications for vendors, sponsors, and musicians for this year's Concert on the Lawn are now available on our website, kbbi.org. Also, KBBI is accepting submissions for art for this year's Members Mug. You can find the rules and a template on our website. Taking a look at the tides for the Seldovia District, the last low tide was at 4:54 a.m. It was a 7.1-foot low for Kachemak Bay. High tide will be at 11 a.m. at 16.5 feet, again for Kachemak Bay. For the Seward District, this morning's low tide was at 3:24 a.m. at 4.8 feet. High tide will be at 9:33 a.m. at 10.3 feet. That's again for Resurrection Bay. Sunrise in Homer this morning is at 8:08 a.m., sunset at 6:30 p.m. for 10 hours, 21 minutes of daylight. That is a gain of 5 minutes, 21 seconds from yesterday. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 8:05 a.m. Seward sunrise is at 8 a.m. with a sunset at 6:20 p.m. for 10 hours, 19 minutes of daylight, a gain of 5 minutes, 28 seconds from yesterday. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:58 a.m. Thanks for listening, and good morning.